The Becoming Unsilenced podcast is about awakening to the greatest potential you always were. Listen to teachings, interviews, and inspiring stories of others who have challenged the accepted, expanded possibility, and merged modern-day life with ancient wisdom to discover their greatest potential. When you fear less, you become limitless. Now be inspired by today's episode. Well, welcome, Janet. We are here for our second in a series of conversations that we're just calling Conversations and Wisdom from the Path, where we are here just in a very conversational format. We want this to feel like you're just kind of eavesdropping in on one of the many conversations that Janet and I have together. So welcome back, friend.
Yeah, so glad to be here, Vicki.
Today we're going to be talking about emotions and then what we've learned about releasing emotions and how it brings kind of this deep healing in our lives. But I thought a great place to start would be around what we each learned about emotions growing up. So, Janet, what did you learn about emotions growing up?
Well, there was never any instruction, but I learned pretty quickly that if it was negative, you had better suck it up and keep it to yourself. And the less you expressed it to other people, the better, because nobody else was interested in it. And this deep sense that if I expressed, especially sadness or discomfort that wasn't anger, that I was giving away something that I should be keeping a secret. So it's just this way in which I knew if you act sad, somebody's going to know something. You're sort of letting them in to the back door, and you better not do that. So it was all about this suppression, keep it quiet. Yeah. Now, I grew up in a household where anger was expressed a lot. And so that one terrified me. And I tried to avoid it. You know, I didn't like it. It was an uncomfortable one for me. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I grew up learning that it was okay for other people to express their emotions around certain subjects, but my emotions weren't important. Or if there was like big things going on, it was okay to focus on and put all the emotions into that big thing as how it impacted people collectively, but it was not at all important how it impacted me personally. And therefore, I think I really just kept these very much like you were saying, these walls around what was actually happening inside of me as a child. And weakness, I think you didn't say this word, but this idea that you said about opening the door in to let other people see what was happening inside of you, I think that weakness and vulnerability was equated with showing emotions.
Absolutely, because I think there was an embedded assumption. I'm not sure even how self-conscious my family conveyed it to me, but you needed to live in a very specific way, and you needed to demonstrate confidence and on being on top of things and knowing what you were talking about. So you also needed to, you know, a whole litany of things you had to do. And so emotions could be clues that you weren't where you were supposed to be.
Exactly.
So the more you could mask them and hide them, the more you could kind of act out and conform to the things you were supposed to be doing.
Yes. And for me as a child, it's what kept you safe, emotionally safe, because there was consequences to if you're opinion or feeling about something differed significantly from someone else's, there was consequences to that. So it was almost this game of how stoic can we be to not give a clue about what's happening inside of us.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? I'm sure all cultures aren't that way, but it was deeply a part of the culture. Even getting excited about something seemed to convey you were naive about something. So you had to be careful to just convey this kind of nonplussed, even neutral perspective on things.
Yes, a quote that I remember from my child is, it's never as good as it seems, and it's never as bad as it seems. And that was a perfect example of, you know, something that was said to keep you, okay, you don't feel those highs, don't feel the lows, just don't acknowledge it.
Be neutral.
Right. Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah.
How did that play out for you as you grew into an adult?
Well, obviously there was discomfort around it, discomfort around emotions. Curiosity is like, especially if you felt overwhelmed by emotion, it's like, it seemed like a big mystery. Like, why am I feeling this way? There's something wrong with me. What's the explanation for this thing that's happening to me? So it felt, I guess, like it was this mysterious set of things that rumbled in the background that I didn't understand, didn't have any control over, but they seemed to have a lot of control over me.
So this kind of silent thing that was rumbling, but maybe we're never looking directly at it to see what
yeah. was. And I even can remember wondering, like, when you had these great, like, super excited, great feelings of elation, like what, and I have to trace it back, what led to that? Or if all of a sudden this mood swept over you, I would start scanning my mind, like, what happened? What's going on here?
Kind of being curious about it. Yeah. I can see, for me, it allowed me to tolerate a heck of a lot of things in my life that were happening that I didn't feel like my opinion mattered on, such as being, you know, I was in a marriage that was very difficult. There was some lying that went on. There was some financial irresponsibilities that went on. But it sounds even goofy to say it now, but back then in my early 20s, and I didn't even consciously think about it, I was so conditioned as a child to be this way. I just didn't feel like, even though I was 50% of that marriage, I didn't feel like my opinion or how I felt about it mattered. And as I look back now, I think, oh my gosh, the stuff that I tolerated, that I felt like I didn't have a choice in, that really was just me choosing to not voice how I felt about a situation, or not even voicing it. Or maybe sometimes I voiced how I felt and then it got turned around somehow and used against me. So I didn't feel confident to be able to stand in how I was feeling on really difficult things. I think that led to me eventually in my late 20s, maybe early 30s. I can remember I went through a period of time where, well, leading up to it, probably a period of time where there was a lot of tears. Like, I was like in this like extreme emotional distress, but again, not feeling like it was important. And I made a decision. I can remember driving on the interstate one day in Denver. We lived in Denver at the time. I made a decision. I'm going to flip off my emotions and most tears. I'm not going to feel them anymore because I don't understand them. They don't make sense. And that entered into then a period of years where I literally just kind of shut that piece of me down and didn't have tears, was very numb, just kind of like a robot going through this existence.
Yeah, I definitely learned a lot of shame about crying. I can remember always both of my parents saying, there's nothing to cry about, stop that whining. You know, that it, that's why I never wanted to cry, because I knew it was just going to invoke ridicule and these demands. And it, see, also, it wasn't easy to stop crying once you started.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a terrifying, it was deeply shameful to cry.
Yes. And the other thing, the message, like similar to that, that I received is, well, if you're going to cry, I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Cry about. That's exactly. That was the line. If you keep that crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Exactly. And you knew what that meant, and you didn't want that to happen.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So it sounds like we've received very similar messages.
That's right.
Oh, and it can feel really sticky to begin to sort out and to acknowledge emotions. And I know that we've had a couple teachers mutually on our paths that we've kind of woven in and out of that have really helped us both sort that out. Ah, how did that all begin for you?
I was going to ask you. Who's your favorite? What do you remember?
Yeah. So I think my favorite is Michael Singer. Like he is the one who began to help me see these things. The book, The Untethered Soul, helped me begin to understand. And I remember the first time I read it, that book just didn't make sense to me at all. It was just I know there's something here, but it does not make sense to me at all. But something must have guided me back to it a second time I think the thing about how he describes emotions is, and I think he's talking more about the scars that it leaves in our soul when we don't fully feel our emotions. But he talks about the samskaras, which are like these emotional wounds or arrows that kind of lodge inside of us, and they stay there until we begin to release them. And I think what made sense to me about that is it helped me understand that all of that time when I was turned off those emotions, were stuffing them in, not expressing them, I wasn't doing what I thought I was doing. I was just sucking them all deep inside, which eventually led to this such significant emotional pain that I couldn't ignore them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I can remember when someone described, and Michael Singer is one of them, that emotions are things that are energy that live in our body. And I was thinking, what?
Yeah.
I thought if I was avoiding them, they were out there in the world somewhere. I was winning, you know, I was keeping them at bay. But right, the exact opposite is by failing to allow them to pass through me, which is a phrase he uses a lot.
Yep.
They were getting stuck, and they were getting stuck on my stuff, as he likes to say. And that really was so enlightening to think that we create these judgments. Like we, as children, we learn these messages of what you should and shouldn't do, what you want, what you don't want. And it's like, we're creating this. I think that the analogy was like energy can flow through us like water. But whenever you try to interfere with that, block it up, it's like you're freezing it into ice. And then all of a sudden it can't flow through. And those are like the samskaras. It's like an ice sculpture somehow inside of us are all of these stored emotions, and they block everything. And therefore, whenever the new stuff comes in, it hits that, and it, you know, it's painful. And he gives these great analogies about how you have to build things around it to protect yourself so it won't hurt. And then that creates this crazy elaborate life. But yes, that very concept that when we fail to really allow ourselves to experience an emotion fully, we're damaging our future self. You know, we're keeping it inside, trapping it, and it's going to come up again. It's like it's touching something that comes right back. And I'm mixing all my metaphors now because so many teachers explain it in so many
ways. But you're exactly right. And what you say, that hitting of that old wound is what we would so often refer to as someone being triggered, or, mm-hmm. you know, kind of this spark that lights a flame inside of someone, maybe you know, the spark that lights the fury of anger inside of someone. And it really is exactly what you're saying, is just that hitting of that old wound. How have you come to understand it? What's your favorite teacher?
Well, Eckhart Tolle, as you know, is just is the teacher that almost everything he says resonates with me in a deep, deep way. And his expression, his way of explaining it, is the pain body. And I remember when I first read it, I was like, it's like, that is really weird. I was like, that is really weird. But the pain body is just essentially these energies that we store inside of ourselves that become a part of ourselves. And then he speaks about them, how they get energized, and they can take over us. And when they take over us, that's whenever we act out in the worst possible ways, when we engage with other people in that way. And the way he explains it is, it's a live energy inside of us that can get dormant and then come back to life. And when the pain body kind of becomes the dominant mode of operating, it seeks to feed itself with more and more pain. And so we seek to energize that in other people. And then, you know, when he describes it, it's like you can see that really at work. It's always easy to see it in somebody else, but it's like, wow. And then he talks about the density of this pain body. But when you think about this living thing inside of us and how to befriend it, heal it, release it, recognize that we don't want to give it power to kind of overcome us and take over us.
Now, how would you describe that in like a comparison to, we would hear the word ego, and as you were talking about that, it almost reminded me like of the ego. So how would you kind of differentiate the pain body and the ego?
Well, I think of the ego as a perspective that we are acting out of. And the ego is that conditioned perspective that we take on and act out of and see in the world. And so our egoic perspective or our egoic identity can have different levels of the pain body. So I think about it as the egoic perspective is just that human, deeply conditioned way of being in the world. So your ego could have a heavy pain body or not. You know, it'd be many degrees of what the pain body. So I see that as they work in tandem with each other.
Gotcha.
Does that fit with your understanding?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just sitting here processing that a little bit to see, because I've experienced that pain body taking over for myself. Eckhart, The Power of Now, that's another one of those books that never made sense to me at all when I first read it. So if you're listening to this and you read that book and it didn't make sense, I'm encouraging you to read it again, because it as you shift, the words shift and bring on new meaning. And I think like the ego, I always also think of in comparison to the mind, and the mind, I think, can feed my pain body, because I think about that pain body being activated around a fear or an insecurity, and then that fear, insecurity kind of is manifested through the mind and what the mind is saying and chattering and expressing. And I think the similarity between, you know, what Michael Singer says and what Eckhart Tolle says is also about being the observer when those things happen and sitting behind it and not resisting it. Because when we resist it, we stuff it back down in. But instead, being able to sit and watch it come up. Have you experienced that for yourself?
Certainly. And the way I think I've come to understand it is that really, as we're here to have a full human experience, and human beings are going to experience emotions.
Yeah.
And when we allow ourselves to fully experience an emotion, it will pass through us. It will be a momentary thing. It may, you know, maybe more than a moment, but it's going to have an energy that rises and dissipates. And then it's over. It doesn't live in us. But whenever we're not living, like in sync with life, accepting life as it comes and experiencing the fullness of that life in the now, in the moment, as it comes, instead, we resist it, and the resistance leads to that getting trapped inside. So I see it as the goal, the ideal is to live in sync with life, fully experience an emotion. But you have to grow to understand that. And that's about experiencing what the new things that come our way. But as we've already said, we have these trapped energies inside of us, these trapped emotions. And then the key is there's many ways to speak of that, but it's like a healing. It's a releasing, it's a melting, whatever metaphor. And so then when these trapped emotions, there's nothing we have to do to get them up. Life will give us something and they'll come to the surface. It's so simple. We don't have to dig down and find them. It's like, how am I going to get rid of this? Not a problem. It's just going to come right up. And when it comes up, then it's that, okay, here it is. And we know a lot of emotions don't feel good.
Yeah.
They immediately lead to us to have tight shoulders, a rapid heart rate,
even the hunch
over breath. Yeah, our whole posture takes on that emotion. And the key is, we want to fully experience it. It's what's happening. Don't judge ourselves and say, oh, you're not supposed to be doing that. Just say, here it is. I'm open to experiencing this sadness, this overwhelm, this confusion, this doubt, this fear. I'm open to letting this flow through me, to seeing it happen, watching what it does in my body. It's sort of like the practice for me is seeing it when it comes, seeing it, knowing it, and then dropping the label, not feeding it with my mind, experiencing it in the body. It's like grounding, experiencing the energy of it in my body. And when I do that, it's gone. And the beauty of it is that what the stuffed down emotion I've been holding on to does some healing, some measure of healing. And now that's released. That energy is no longer in me. So that's how I think about it.
Yeah. And I love that. And we know that head knowing all of this stuff is much different than experiencing it. So do you have an example from your life that you can give where you maybe handled something the old way and then you handled it the new way and what that experience was like?
It happens every single day. And it took me a while to recognize that it's exactly what you said. You know, you learn the ideas first. It's like, oh, okay, that's cool. You understand the concept. But then I began to realize the way I tried to implement the concept was always involved. I'm not supposed to do that. Here it comes, the negative emotion, something bad. I would judge it. I would kind of, okay, I should be, let me think about something different. Let me avoid it. So that was a huge, misunderstanding, a novice mistake of trying to deal with that. And now I'll notice when I start doing that. And then for me, what I do is I start thinking about it in my head. Is it this way? Is it this way? I'll get all analytical. And that's a sign. I'm not allowing something to experience. So I think the old way was to see it and then try to turn my attention away. See it and then try to change my thoughts to make it happy. I would always try to quickly change, shift away instead of truly allowing the experience. And so now what happens is when I see it is I just actually let myself sit still, feel it, breathe through it, notice it, and just watch the thoughts on it go away. And truly, I think this is something that happens every single day, but you know, different levels of intensity, but there's almost always, all I have to do is get my email out and I'll notice it happening.
Yeah. Well, and for me, one of the things that I've seen a difference on for me in a very real life experience is the process of grieving. As you know, I lost my dad. It's almost exactly a month ago today that he passed. And I think about the significant losses that I had earlier in my life. And in grieving those, or maybe not allowing myself to grieve them, just kind of sucking all of that pain inside and soldiering on, and, you know, I got to keep going and not show this emotion to anyone. I can see how I've spent a lot of time now over the years releasing that pain, releasing that grief, releasing that emotion. And it was so much different for me during the month before my dad passed away, and then now this month afterwards, of just being able to cry when I needed to cry, or just express how it was impacting me, or to even to give myself permission to, wow, you've been through a lot of emotional energy today, so let's just let that be. Let's not resist it. And let's give yourself some recovery time for that today. And I think that has allowed me to grieve with my family in a more open way. And it also gives them permission to grieve differently. And even in grief, I've seen how we're so conditioned that even with such a significant loss, there's shame around showing those tears or letting that emotion flow. And it's one of the things I really want to strip away, any bit of that's left in my own life, to continue stripping that away and give that permission to others to do that. Because, you know, we've probably each experienced situations or known people who experienced a loss and they didn't deal with it till, you know, 5-10 years later, all of a sudden that grief still there and then catches up with them later on. So that's kind of a very real example of how I'm seeing that difference for myself in my life right now.
Well, I mean, I could give you a lot of very real ones, and they really are very real, but the one that comes to mind is an ongoing healing relationship with my adult son. And we had our old patterns of engaging with our conflict with each other. And the more I came to grow in a deeper spiritual understanding of life and that relationship, I approached it very differently. And even as this summer, we had this just amazing conversation that because I was willing to not react as I had so often done in the past, and just allowed myself to sit with the very discomfort that was going on in that conversation, allowed myself to hear what he was saying and not defend myself, react against it. That opened up the channel for him and I was freely expressing my emotion, not worrying about the discomfort that might cause. And then through that experience of allowing that, accepting that, responding without, you know, defending myself, it opened him up to shifting his very certain perspective. And all of a sudden, he was able to see and experience that the whole situation in a more nuanced way, far more than years of trying to explain my perspective. I mean, it was an incredible experience of just watching something like that unfold, to see a healing, you know, in a long-term relationship around something that was very deep. I mean, he was sharing something that went all the way back to his childhood. And so, yeah, it's a truly, truly amazing when you experience it.
And it's so counter of how we typically go about trying to solve things.
Absolutely.
Relationships. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely the opposite.
Yeah, letting yourself, when someone needs to tell you something that's painful, just receiving it. Receiving it. And maybe everything they say, you can find fault with. You can find, you know, something that's not accurate. That's not even the point. You know that their words are hitting a deep pain in you. You just know that. And you're just letting yourself experience that pain without reacting. And it just opens the channel for a powerful healing and a powerful way of communicating with someone else.
Without reacting and without self-judgment to what's arising.
Yeah, and I think that's a key thing, is the not judging ourselves.
Well, I know for both of us, these concepts have shifted our lives in completely new directions. And that's why we feel so drawn to record these conversations and share them. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, wouldn't you agree, Vicki, that whenever you keep going forward and you have one of these deep healings and you move forward, what I recognize is that thing doesn't keep coming up. Like that thing, I used to wake up in the middle of the night with worries about my son. And that was a regular thing. And then you realize, okay, I don't have those experiences anymore. It does, those things don't haunt me like they once did. So that you can see that energy that lives inside of us has that capacity to come up in all kinds of ways and all kinds of things. And once we release it, then there's nothing to touch. And so there's nothing to come up. And when you begin to see that happen in several areas of your life, you realize how powerful it is.
Yeah, it reminds me of the saying that when the lesson is learned, the teacher disappears. And I know for myself, many years, you know, kind of the same personality of person would show up in the workplace with these kind of same characteristics. It didn't matter what workplace I was in, but that kind of that same person found me at the next place. And, you know, it's so easy to blame the other people that are in those scenarios, but realizing it truly is that energy and that wound inside of us that's asking for our attention to be healed. And you're exactly right. When you let that healing happen, there is no need for those teachers to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, I've heard so many people talk about this, about just experience your emotions, the power of experiencing your emotions. And I remember for a long time being like skeptical, puzzled, like, why is that so magical? And I think it's also one of those things that you can hear it. It's a simple concept, but I found that it took quite a while before I could really both deeply understand it and then practice it in a way that made it a real experience. How about you? I mean, I think perhaps you were on that journey long before me, but it was, I can remember it being so puzzling and hearing so many different people say it like it was just like this piece of magic.
Right. So easy to do, right? Just, and even when I first read Michael Singer's book, it's like, well, just let it go. Just let it go. Okay. Like, how the heck do I just let it go? And the other thing about emotions that I was going to say, for me, I felt like my emotions, like if I opened the door to them, they were going to be so strong that they were just going to swallow me and engulf me, and I might never get back up out of that emotional hole. And I think that kept me from really fully opening the door to experience emotions for a long time. And I know I've heard that from other people too, that it feels like you might just really get swallowed into them. And it does feel that way for a little while. I can remember back to a day a couple years ago when I was really sitting behind and releasing some really deep emotions. And it was like a several hour good long cry on the couch. And it did in moments there feel like I was going to be consumed by that energy. But then it lets go and it releases. And it does bring that healing that you talked about. But there again, actually experiencing that made me now understand that in such a deeper way.
Well, and this would be a caution I would offer, and you can tell me if you've had this experience, but I think sometimes I misunderstood feeling the emotion as I'm just going to keep telling the story, because if I keep telling the story, I can just get all in a tizzy, and the story just keeps there and I keep experiencing it and the narrative grows. And I came to realize, okay, no, I mean, Eckhart Tolle always teaches just kind of drop the story, let go. You know, if you've labeled the emotion, anger, just drop the label and experience the sensation. So I think there really is, I try to explain that to clients, that you're experiencing the emotion, the sensations, the energy in your body. Everybody knows that feeling. You're not experiencing the narrative in your head. That's where we usually feel it. I mean, that's where, and I think sometimes there's not a vocabulary for this. I've often asked clients about to describe an emotion and they'll start telling me thoughts. Like, it's just really hard to come up with the vocabulary. They'll just say, well, I was thinking this, I was thinking that. I say, well, like, well, what was the emotion? Well, I made me remember this, that, and the other. Well, what was the emotion? You know, emotion is just like a word. It's just really a word and a sensation. So I have noticed that both in myself and the clients I work with, that there is kind of this hurdle to get over to realize experiencing the emotion is not feeding the narrative, reliving the narrative. It's truly experiencing the sensations. That's sort of how
it's a really good point. And I think that there are emotions underneath that are feeding those stories.
Oh yeah.
So back to that day a couple of years ago, as I referenced on the cry on the couch, you know, it was a scenario where somebody had poked something very deep in me, and I really wanted to lash out and blame that person. But I was far enough along the learning journey that I knew it was not necessarily about them. It was something about me. And I could get this exact thing that you're talking about, sitting with that and seeing then there was a mix of anger, a mix of sadness, a mix of regret. But whatever those labels are, you're right. It is just experiencing how that energy comes up in the body.
And it's tricky, because even though I don't think feeding the narrative is helpful, I think that keeps the emotion alive. It's not really releasing it. But at the same time, as we're experiencing that emotional release, there can be a knowledge that comes up with it, an awareness of what's really it's attached to at a much deeper, not the surface level.
Yeah.
And that's also, it can feel like a thought. I think sometimes it comes from a much deeper place, but just a kind of understanding, an idea of what has been attached to that.
I find for me that understanding comes like when I've already opened the door to allowing that emotion to come up. And then as that emotion is kind of on the waning side, then that insight and clarity mm-hmm. pops in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's an experience, because the more you experience it, the more you can distinguish it as sort of a process and a pattern that happens.
Not so afraid of the experience anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, Janet, well, it's been a great conversation. We've already talked our time away. So yeah, any final bits of wisdom from your path on this subject that you want to leave as a parting comment?
I would just say it's a deeply rewarding journey, and wherever you are on it, continue.
Yeah. Yes. And of course we can recommend, Eckhart Tolle, Michael Singer, Jess Livey has been another one on our path that's kind of helped interpret both of those people's work. Mm-hmm. That's helped us understand that. And so, yeah, it now, as we wrap up and wind down, if there's a topic related to spiritual growth, wisdom on your journey that you would love to hear Janet and I talk about, go ahead and send me an email, and that email is located in the show notes below. But we'd love to address any specific topic or question that you guys send to us also. So, okay, Janet, thanks for being here for our conversation today.
All right. Bye for now. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. If you have a topic or question you want to hear more about, send it to us at the email below. Have an inspired day.